Morning. Turning in your Bibles to Habakkuk, please. Over the last couple of months, the Lord's really allowed me to enjoy this book and see many things that are encouraging for us. It's towards the end of the Old Testament. It's in the sequence. It's Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. So go to Habakkuk chapter 1. This will not be a commentary style of Habakkuk. It's more really what the Lord's brought me through. Because it's amazing, the Lord has been through everything that we will ever go through, and more. We heard of that this morning. And the entire Bible applies to our lives. Habakkuk chapter 1. Before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the time to remember you and just remember all that you are and all that you've done for us. As we open your word now, Lord, please, you work, you speak. Protect each one, bless each one, and let your spirit work to bring us all closer to you and you be glorified. We give you this time and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Habakkuk chapter 1. We'll start by reading verses 1 to 4. And it says, "The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity, and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife, and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds." Habakkuk had been crying out to the Lord. And he'd been crying out for a long time, right? He says, "How long shall I cry?" He'd been crying out to the Lord, and nothing changed. It didn't get better. So he thinks that the Lord does not hear him. And then he says, "Even cry out to you violence." He's not just praying for superficial things, right? It's not just praying in general. He tells the Lord how serious it is. "I even cry out violence." And then it says, "And you will not save." He cried out so long, and nothing changed, nothing got better. So he thinks the Lord doesn't hear him. He thinks the Lord is not doing anything. So he comes to a conclusion. And he says, "Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth." Have you ever been there? Have you ever been through something that's no fun at all for quite a long time? And you pray and you pray and you pray and nothing changes? You even tell the Lord how serious it is and it doesn't get better? And it seems like the Lord doesn't hear you. Seems like he's not listening. And it seems like he's not doing anything about it. Well, Habakkuk is right there. So let's read verse 5 for the start of the Lord's response to him. Verse 5, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. Notice that the Lord does not go to Habakkuk and say, listen, Habakkuk, I'm really sorry, but I actually have heard you. And I actually have been doing something. He doesn't do that. Instead, he brings Habakkuk to the bigger picture. He brings Habakkuk to the greater work that he is doing. And we see that in the Lord Jesus. In the New Testament, through the Gospels, people would come to him and ask him questions. And oftentimes, he would, rather than the details of the question, he would bring them to the greater work that he's doing. And that's what he does here with Habakkuk. Then he goes on to explain what he will do. And he says he'll raise up the Chaldeans. And he describes the Chaldeans in four ways. He says they are a bitter and hasty nation, and they are terrible and dreadful. And he's going to raise up the Chaldeans, and they had these great abilities. It says their chariots were faster than leopards. And how does it say it? And stronger than evening wolves. They had great abilities. They were terrible people. And he was raising them up to deal with the sin of Israel. And so the Lord, it brings Habakkuk to the greater work that he's doing in it. So let's read verse 12 and 13. Of chapter 1, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Habakkuk says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? This is interesting because Habakkuk, first of all, Habakkuk gives the Lord his rightful place. Right? He puts the Lord in his rightful place. He says, O Lord, my God, my Holy One. He puts the Lord in his rightful place. He even says, O rock. That's the rock that followed them in the wilderness and gave them water. That is the Lord Jesus, as it says in 1 Corinthians. So he gives the Lord his rightful place, but he still doesn't like the answer. But there's a change. Remember, when he started, he says, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? At the start, it was about him, what he was going through and what he had to see. But now it changes and it goes to the Lord. That's verse 13. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously? Right? So it started with him. Why do I have to see this? Why do I have to go through this? Why do you make me see this? And then it goes to him. Why would you see this? Why would you look at this? Why would you tolerate this? And then for the rest of chapter 1, Habakkuk goes farther to describe all that the Lord has to look at. Like, why would you look at this? He goes and describes all that. But look at chapter 2, verse 1. It's the end of Habakkuk, what Habakkuk is saying. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. This is shocking. Habakkuk says, I will set myself on a rampart. The rampart is the high wall that surrounds a city, right? It's protection. It's a point of advantage. And he says, I will set myself on a rampart and watch to see how he answers me. If you set yourself on the rampart, the high wall, you can see for a long way off. And you see people coming from a long way off. And you see them the whole way. And when they get there, you look down to them. And they look up to you. And here's Habakkuk saying, I will set myself on a rampart and see how he answers me. So verse 2 and 3. For the merciful answer of the Lord. Verses 2 to 4. Chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. He says, Then the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This is interesting as well, because the Lord tells Habakkuk, write the vision down on tablets. Write it all down. That he may run who reads it. Whoever reads it may run. Then he tells him it's for an appointed time. And it will happen. And when it happens, it will be seen to be true. It will not lie. So he says, wait for it, though it tarries. Tarries means takes a long time. Does that sound like anything? Does that remind you of anything? We have the entire written Word of God. Written. And some people who read it, they run from it. Sometimes we as believers, we stay away from the parts we don't like. And every bit of God's word is for an appointed time. All of it that's already happened, happened in its appointed time. All of the prophecies that are still to come will happen at their appointed time, in the fullness of time. So we wait for it. God's word, when we read God's word, we are brought to the greater work that he is doing. And it will happen, and it will be seen to be true. So wait for it, though it tarries. Now look at verse 4. It says, Behold the proud. Remember Habakkuk? I will set myself on a rampart and wait to see how he answers me. Right? Have you ever been there? Have you Ever had that thought, oh man, the Lord's got to explain this to me. So Habakkuk, I will set myself on the rampart and watch to see how he answers me. The Lord says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This is the answer. But the just shall live by his faith. How do we get through the things that are no fun at all, that are difficult, and they go on so long, and we cry out, and nothing changes? And the adversary tries to convince us that the Lord doesn't listen, and he's not doing anything about it. That's a lie. How do we get through those times? Faith. How do we stand in the promises of God? Faith. How do we have every spiritual blessing? Faith. How do we stand against sin? Faith. The just shall live by his faith. This is quoted three times in the New Testament. And it's the same thing. The just shall live by faith. Each time the focus is on a different aspect of it, but it's the same thing. The just shall live by faith. I always used to see this in contrast to sight. And it's true. We walk by faith, not by sight. But here, it's in contrast to pride. Behold the proud, but the just shall live by his faith. It's in contrast to pride, and it's our pride that drives how we see things to begin with, right? In those moments, in each moment, do we want our way or do we want God's way? And it says, but the just shall live by his faith. So the rest of chapter 2, remember Habakkuk at the start, it was about him. Why am I going through this? Why do I have to see this? Why do you make me see this? Then it goes to, how could you see this? How could you look at this? So in the rest of chapter 2, the Lord tells Habakkuk the truth of what he has to see from his own people. The people that he did everything, does everything for. And then brings us to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is a beautiful chapter. It starts with Habakkuk praying, and it ends with Habakkuk singing. So let's read verses 1 and 2. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionoth. I'm sorry, I don't know how to say that. And then verse 2, it says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. He got it. Says, I heard you. And then he says, revive your work. Remember? He didn't like what he was going through. He wanted it fixed. He wanted it made better. And then the Lord says, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, terrible people, to deal with the sin of Israel. It's going to get worse. And here he is now saying, revive your work. You keep going. Your will be done. And then he says the very heart of God. He says, in wrath, remember mercy. Right? That's the heart of God. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. So look at verse 17 to 19 for the song of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. It's a beautiful song. I'll paraphrase and just say that no matter how bad it gets, he says he'll rejoice in the Lord and joy in the God of his salvation. Again, remember the start. He cried out for so long for the situation that was so hard, and he wanted it fixed, and it didn't change. So he thought the Lord didn't hear him. He thought the Lord wasn't doing anything about it. And the Lord told him it's going to get worse. The Lord said, in his lifetime, the Chaldeans will come. And that's like when I read this, there's something subconscious. I read this. It's a beautiful chapter, right? Starts with a beautiful prayer, ends with a beautiful song. And subconsciously, I think everything's better. It's all fixed now. And that's not the case, because the Lord told him in his lifetime, it will get worse. And he says, in spite of it all, I will rejoice in the Lord and joy in the God of my salvation. Now, imagine for a moment this song. What if the trees did not blossom? What if there was no fruit on the vines, no food in the fields, no livestock in the barns? What would that be like? You'd be hungry, to say the least. Hungry. And you would have no hope to eat tomorrow. Because even if at that moment it all started growing, it takes a long time for it to grow and ripen. And he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy. This is interesting. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Remember the beginning? Remember chapter 1? He says, I even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Now he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. It's interesting too, because showed me that it is possible to rejoice when it's bad. It's not that we rejoice in the bad thing, but we rejoice in the Lord. It's possible to rejoice in the difficult times, not because of the feeling. Our life is not a life of feeling. It is a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. I want to say, are you going through something like Habakkuk? I think we all do in different ways. I know we've been praying for many for a very long time. Don't believe the lies of the adversary when he tries to tell you God's not listening and God's not doing anything about it. Read God's word. Go to the greater work that he's doing in the situation. See all that every book of the Bible applies to our lives. If you're going through that, don't give up. Take the step of faith and trust the Lord. And I hope that the Lord brings each one of us to the point where we can rejoice in the Lord in all the way through it and joy in the God of our salvation. It's a bit early. I apologize. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for all. Thank you for salvation through him. Thank you, Lord, for all that you did. We heard it this morning. To great suffering, you saved us. We praise you for that. Knowing everything, knowing every bit of each one of us. You love us and you saved us. We praise you for that. I just pray, Lord, that you know what each one is going through. I thank you for your encouragement and help to me through this. And I ask that you encourage them. Bring each one of us to a deeper walk of faith. Help each one of us to take that step of faith. Please bring each one of us to the point where we can rejoice in you through it all. Take that step of faith to trust you for tomorrow. We thank you. You've proven yourself. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.